I'm thankful that you're here today, and we're doing a series called Believe. We're going to start with our video clip right here, and then that'll introduce us. We're going to talk about gifts today. If you've ever heard the name, the phrase spiritual gifts, anybody ever heard spiritual gifts? I'll be honest, I get a little scared of that. When I was growing up, I'd hear spiritual gifts, and I would hear this, that it's a gift of prophecy, or a gift of preaching, or a gift of teaching, or a gift of exhortation, and none of those match me. So you think, well, what's my gift? And you'd sometimes think, well, I don't guess I have one. I can't, you know, I don't predict the future. I don't foretell. By the way, that word prophecy, sometimes it can just mean to speak out and tell things. I can tell you that Jesus is coming back. I'm no prophet, but that's what the word says. So I can tell you that. But we all have a gift. If we have been saved by the blood of Christ, if we've trusted in Him as our Savior, what comes into us at that point? That's the Holy Spirit, so that's a gift. And the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and that Holy Spirit will indwell me. Let me give you one example, then Chris will play their video. Let me give you one example, and again, I hesitate on stuff, but I like to be real with you, so I'm transparent, but don't think this is anything special on me. I told Joe this morning already, and those invite cards, Virginia goes and knocks on doors and hands them out to people. If they're not there, she might just stick them in the door. Has anybody handed out an invite card yet? You know, like those? Yeah. I pulled in to get the oil change the other day. I'm not a door knocker on the door. I'm going to leave that to Virginia. I don't ride a bike and knock on the doors. I don't do any of those things. But I have a few cards that I like to tell about Jesus. So you just got to be attentive. And I don't know, maybe that's God's gift for me. So I pulled in to get the oil changed, and make that long story short, I just felt like some people need to be just encouraged because they've probably been discouraged. I was in one bay, and this woman over here was just cussing somebody out because sometimes at Valley they say, now, have you brought your car here before and all that? She, you know, where is this? Well, ain't no business. See, you know, I don't need to tell you whose car this is. Well, he wasn't asking if it was stolen. He just said, we're trying to keep track of it, you know. Like when I pull in, they say, hey, Mr. Moser, this is 6 months ago you had this vehicle in here, right? And they know that stuff. Well, it's all right. It's just, I don't think that's an infringement. This woman must have it. She just let them have it. And I'm thinking, if I pull out, that guy's going to be defeated for the day. And so he came over. Since the manager went over to handle that, he came over and I said, you know, I just feel like, let's combat what's going on here. Let's encourage one another. So here's a card. If you ever come to my church, I'd love to have you. If you don't, on the back, there's some videos. You can look it up. You can have church in your own house. And so he had that card given to him. And he says, well, my name is Shane. I said, okay. I pulled out and stopped after I come out of that one. I said, Lord said just to do more. And I come back to Shane and I said, where's the guy that got cussed at? He said, oh, that's Dylan. That guy's right over there. So pray for Shane and Dylan. So I went over there to Dylan and I said, Dylan, y'all change oil. God changes lives. I come in here for an oil change. God come in here to let you be changed. And he says, well, I go to church. I go to church with Shane. I said, well, good. You want me to pray with you? I wish you would. Okay. We're sitting in a bay. And God shows up, puts his arm around us, and says, now let's pray. I feel that guy got through. He never remembered being cussed out. He goes, wow, thanks for praying with me. Would you pray for Shane? Absolutely. We can have a loud study here if y'all want to. We can just pull up a case of oil. He said, pray for Shane. I think he's struggling with some things. We go to church together. Okay. We'll pray for Shane. Are you good? I said, are you special? I don't know. God says you're special. Say it. I'm special. Say, God loves me. God loves me.
Yeah.
And the devil never won. I didn't go in there to hand out. Now, can I hand that card? God just says, do this. So if you say, I don't know what my gift is, I'd be to hand out a card or something. Might just be to go over and shake hands. Are you having trouble with, can I have you carry those groceries? Is that a gift? I think it is. It's not a gift of prophecy. It's not a gift of foretelling the future. It's a gift, though. And I feel that. How many people believe that God's given us all a gift? Y'all just haven't unwrapped. Oh, yeah, I got a gift in there in the other room, up on the shelf. Have I got a Christmas gift they haven't unwrapped yet? I didn't think so. Ask kids, how long does it take to unwrap their gift? Yeah, zero. Like, y'all may, wait. Wait till grandma sits down.
Good.
Now y'all may open and get, yeah, you know, like the cats even get out of the way because we're ripping paper. It's like, wow. How about opening up our gift to God that quick? I think all of us have got a gift. By the way, I circled the building, come back around, found Shane. Shane come out and says, hey, Edgar, what did that mean? He's already looked at the card I'm giving. He said, is this your cell phone number? You can call me anytime. He said, I am. I got some things. Thanks for coming by. I said, no, we haven't prayed yet. So then I prayed with him. Now, before I left home, I did not think, Lord, help me to pray 2 times at Valvoline. I didn't pray that. But you got to be attentive to that. So I prayed with him, and then I just wanted to do everything I could to get people cussing them out of their mind. So I came back around a few minutes later, and I said, all right, guys, he's here again. I pulled in, it's like, and I said, here you go. And Dylan said, oh, you brought us some ice water. He was thrilled that I brought him ice water. I said, that's not ice water, it's ice. Here's your gallon of tea. Sweet tea. Is there any other? So you give them that, and they go back in there. And I don't think he was thinking about you. Maybe the gift, that's the gift of encouragement. Anybody ever encourage you? Joe encourages me. It's like, huh? Some of you have the gift of giving. It's like here. I just think this needs to go to that cause. I don't know what it is. Gift of giving, gift of compassion. Some of you have a gift of being a greeter. Some of you have the gift of mowing the grass. See, I might do what I do, but maybe you pound the hammer. You know, maybe you tighten the bolt. I mean, that's a gift. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. But I don't care if you work at Sun Eve or work at Electric Company. Benjamin goes to work today. He's working today. He works as a lifeguard. He'll be outside in the sun. I'm going to give him some cards. So, you know, what if somebody just comes by and it's like, it's hot out here. Hell's hotter. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, that's just a good, you know, an intro line.
That's a great opening.
Yeah, I'm sure. You think it's hot today? No, don't scare them off. But y'all can have a little, they call those segues. Yeah. Just think of that. Let's watch this on what our gifts are. There's hope for all of us finding our gifts.
A number of years ago, I was playing basketball. As I jumped into the air and came down, something happened in my lower back. I immediately knew something was wrong. Turned out a little tiny disc between L5 and S1 part of my vertebrae just popped out a little. I thought to myself, that can't be a big deal, can it? Oh my, what a big deal it turned out to be. Apparently signals were sent to my brain, and my brain gave the command to tighten up the muscles around the disc to protect it. The hamstring is the largest muscle in your body, and my hamstring on the right side tightened up so significantly it caused me to be bent over almost in a perpendicular position. The disc injury coupled with the inflammation pushed up against my sciatic nerve, sending a chilling pain down my right leg equivalent to that experienced in childbirth. Okay, maybe not that severe, but it really hurt, and it hurt all the time. I couldn't exercise, walk, stand up, or sit down for very long. Over the next 6 months, I didn't sleep for more than 30 minutes at a time. I couldn't do any work around the house, and most of all, I couldn't play with or pick up my children. All because of a little rubbery donut-like disc between L5 and S1. I will never underestimate one of those little discs again. Today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with our discussion today about the practice of spiritual gifts? Well, the Bible makes the connection very clear. The New Testament teaches that the moment we become Christians, we become a member of the body of Christ. But not everyone is the same part, and consequently, we don't all have the same function or play the same role. If one is a disc, say, between L5 and S1, I can tell you from experience that one of the main functions in serving the body is to provide cushion from the impact of walking, running, jumping, twisting, and turning. It may not seem like a big job, but when it isn't working, when it isn't doing its part, everything hurts and shuts down. Believe me, I know. This leads to a very personal key question. What gifts and skills has God given me to serve others? What part did God assign to you to serve the body of Christ and to help the body of Christ serve up God's purposes in the world? What an important and exciting thing to know and to exercise. Where does the Bible teach this idea? We see it in several places, but I love the succinct way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. It forms our key verse, which I hope you will commit to memory. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. At the end of the day, this is the key idea God wants to get working in your life. I know my spiritual gifts and use them to fulfill God's purposes. Say it out loud with me this time. I know my spiritual gifts and use them to fulfill God's purposes. That's the goal. This is a very important spiritual practice that adds so much meaning and purpose to our lives. It is vital to what God wants to accomplish in the lives of others and vital to our own spiritual growth. Now, most of the teaching about spiritual gifts resides in the New Testament, but God did deposit gifts in the folks of the Old Testament. One of my favorite stories is the story of Daniel found in the book that bears his name. It's found in chapter 2. First, a little backstory. The southern kingdom of Judah has been captured, and most of the people were exiled east to the mighty empire of Babylon. One of the first to be deported was a young man named Daniel. With the growing empire, they needed more people to be trained to take on key roles in the expanding domain of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel and his three friends quickly rose to the status of wise men in the king's court. Today we might say that they were advisors to the president. Okay, now here's the story.
After they were driven out of their promised land, the Israelites were living in captivity in foreign nations. One of these countries was Babylon. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was troubled by a dream he had and did not understand, and he could no longer sleep because of it. So he summoned anyone he thought could interpret his dream, magicians, sorcerers, and astrologers. They arrived before the king and asked him to tell them his dream so that they could interpret it. But the king would not tell them the dream. Instead, he asked the men to tell him what the dream was and what it meant. If they were unable to, he said, they would be killed. The men answered, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks." King Nebuchadnezzar was furious, so he ordered the execution of all of the wise men, the magicians, sorcerers, and astrologers living in Babylon. Guards were sent to look for one of the king's servants, an Israelite named Daniel, because he too was considered one of the wise men. Daniel wisely asked the commander of the king's guard for additional time to interpret the dream. Daniel went home and together with his friends prayed that God would help them interpret the king's dream. During the night, Daniel had a vision that revealed what the king's dream was and what it meant. When he awoke, Daniel praised God and went to speak to the commander of the king's guard. "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon," Daniel requested. "Take me to the king and I will interpret his dream for him." When Daniel arrived, the king asked, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise men can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Then Daniel described the exact details of the king's dream. He described a giant statue made of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Daniel described how a rock struck the statue and smashed it to pieces. Then the wind swept up all the pieces of the statue and blew them away. But the rock that had struck the statue remained and grew into a huge mountain that filled the entire earth. Then Daniel told the king what the dream meant. sharing that the different parts of the statue represented the kingdom of Babylon and other kingdoms like it. And the rock that destroyed the statue represented God's kingdom, a kingdom that would never be destroyed. At this, King Nebuchadnezzar fell down before Daniel. Surely your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king made Daniel the ruler of all of Babylon, gave him many gifts, and appointed Daniel's friends to help him oversee Babylon.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's dig into this story a bit more together.
All right. If you got a Bible, you can, if you need one, raise your hand and some people might. James will get one of those out. Today is, if you'd like a sheet for today, you need a Bible or you need a sheet or you need a, Joe, you want to get everybody a sheet? If you need one of those sheets, I got a lesson on the front and on the back. And again, don't get caught up in just write down all the notes and stuff from that sheet, but it sort of helps keep us on track. But if you got a Bible, you can turn to the book of Nehemiah. I want to show you a couple verses in Nehemiah, and then we'll go to someplace else. If you need a writing utensil, I've got some pens up here. Joe, you want a pen? Okay, let me give you some hope to begin with. I'm going to make this real simplified, and I hope that's okay because I'm a simple, like to make things simple-minded for everybody. Again, please get away from the stereotype of saying, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not Billy Graham, so I don't guess I got a gift. Billy Graham was an extremely gifted person for sure. I have a feeling if he was not preaching in front of a crowd of 1.1 million people in front of Seoul, Korea, I think at one time. Can you imagine preaching to that in the crowd? And he was perfectly at home. Some of you would be scared to death to give a book report in front of 30 people in an English class. Billy preaches in front of a million. So he's gifted. I don't have 25 albums out like Stephen Curtis Chapman does, or I haven't won 80 doubles, so I don't guess I can sing like Stephen. No, I'll still make my attempts to do some music each week, though. Max Lucado has now wrote 40 books in 40 years. So, I mean, I know those are gifts, but do not do this and say, well, that's not me. I think God gives some people, well, just give me a general idea. What do you mean gift? It's something that you feel really at home with. That you just feel, Benjamin likes to swim. I swim like a rock. I mean, no, I'm not going to drown, and I've actually got... I took lifeguarding at one time. Yeah, but I'm not going to swim like him. It just flows for him. Well, matter of fact, we might say that's a God-given gift, a God-given talent. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, you ever played sports with people like that? They don't even have to practice, and they're 100 times better than most people. It's like it just flows. Well, that's God-given. But now remember, he gave you an example. Randy Fraser gave you this. Daniel got a special gift in the Old Testament to interpret a dream. That wasn't, if somebody says, name me somebody that interprets dreams, Daniel doesn't just pop to mind. I think God gifts us especially on certain things. That's a God-given gift. And then there's others that's a gift that just flow all the time. You're perfectly at home in doing that. So, in Nehemiah, would you look at this in chapter 3? I want to show you what some people are gifted at. You say, okay, you're going to talk about prophecy? No, you haven't been listening. Somebody's going to preach? No. Somebody's going to teach? Nope. Look in Nehemiah chapter 3. These are the guys that built the wall, but I just want to give you a couple gifts. Look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Jehoiada, son of Peshiah, and Meshullam. I should have had Janet read all these names. She loves these names. But anyway, son of Besodiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah, Meladiah of Trans Euphrates, of Gibeon, and Jadon of Meremoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans Euphrates. Uzrael, son of Ara, one of the goldsmiths. Okay, that's a gift. I mean, you're just talented that. He repaired the next session. Hananiah, one of the, what was his job? Perfume maker. They made repairs. Next to that, they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. It sounds like, we'll get verse 10. And adjoining this, Jediah, son of Haramoth, made repairs opposite his house. So the part of the wall he got to rebuild was right in front of his house. So we got a homemaker, a perfume maker, and a goldsmith, and a carpenter. What's your gift? But yet all these, what did they have in common on this day? They were wall builders. When I got to go down to Paris Island and enjoy some vacation time with those guys, they said this, out of 13 weeks of training, about 10 weeks, everybody shoots a rifle. Everybody's an infantry. That's what their claim to fame is. A girl from Northside was a great, you know, she loved the band. She joined the Marines. They joined the Marines to be in the band. She's going to be in the Marine band. That's quite the thing. I mean, those guys are good. She went down there. At the end of the 10-week training, she was the number one sharpshooter. Little girl about this tall. And Gunny Worley told me, she said, here she is joining the Marines, but for 10 weeks, she's a sharpshooter. After that, you'll pick your MOS and become whatever it is. I'm in a Marine band, or I'm an infantry, I'm a helicopter repairman. You know, everybody, but for 10 weeks, for 52 days, all these guys were wall builders. I'm a perfume maker. Great, grab a hammer. It is today. It's your gift. Everybody grab a hammer. Everybody jump on the wall and do what you're supposed to do. So what is God's gift for you? Well, look at your sheet that you just now got handed out. Randy makes the excellent point that even though some parts of our body may be tiny or seem insignificant, they are still very important, like that little rubbery cushion between vertebras, and it's needed for us to live healthy lives. He reminds us that God has given us all different gifts. The eye can't say to the foot, well, you're no good. Well, without your eyes, you're going to fall down the stairs. Of course, without your feet, you can't walk down the stairs. I mean, if you had to sit there right now, some of you don't even think about vision. And yet, let a little tiny gnat the size of a straight pin, just shuts the whole body down. Get a splinter in your hand. Suddenly, you'll notice you take better care of that little part of the body. We're able to use these gifts to bring glory to God and to benefit the overall body of believers. So our body, as believers get together, we're called a body of believers, that is the church. Now, you got the universal church, so I can go to New Zealand, off of New Zealand, into Epsom Baptist Church, where Andy and Lindsay used to go. They got a body of believers there. They're the same as our body of believers right here. We're just a local body. Over there is the, you know. If you go into the airport and say, hey, are you, you know what? Some of you got fellowship with the total strangers. Anybody ever done that, by the way? You feel right at home. It's like, I don't even know you. And I feel like you, wow, give them a big hug. Key question for us to answer, what gifts and skills has God given me? Are you a perfume maker? Are you a bean builder? Are you a oil changer, grass mower? Key idea, I know my spiritual gifts and use them to fulfill God's purpose. The key verse, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. With this in mind, you may be wondering, what's my gift? Or what can I do? God instills in His people the skills needed to accomplish His purposes. This can include the work of the pastor. You say, yeah, but I'm not the pastor here. That's okay. We got other jobs. But also the swinging of a hammer. I dare say when we moved into this, and this is very appropriate, Jim and Margie, y'all probably remember the last Sunday was Father's Day up at Round Hill. We moved out. The next Sunday was down here. And we'd worked from November to Father's Day to June to get into here. And if you worked on this, we've got a floor laid, boards painted, walls painted. This used to be four different rooms right where we're standing. Now, and it won't hurt my feelings, but if somebody says, did we need a pastor that day for all that?
We don't need you preaching this. We really need,
unless I'm going to lead by example, we need some carpenters. We need some painters. We need, this is a wall being built, so to speak. And we changed this place from a building into a church. Well, does that take care of everything? No. See, I can say, now look at the screen, but Chris is not over there pushing a button. Suddenly, what if Billy Graham stepped up and went, okay, the sound man needs to, oh yeah, there he is. God say it, and now he's okay. But if it wasn't for that sound man, you realize everybody, who's the most important person on the football team? That's a trick question. I mean, everybody's got their own job. What's the most important person that could get? Can I just ask you, wherever you work, I don't know where you work. Bill, do you have a job where you work? Or do you just walk around?
Yeah, I
can. What if somebody just walked around? What would the boss probably do? He'd find them something to do. Yeah, I just walk around. Go over to Walmart. Hey, do you work here? Well, I got the blue vest on. You just walk around.
Yeah.
No, you better have something to do. So, was God expect the same for us? I hope so. Nobody's sitting on the bench. While spiritual gifts can include preaching or teaching, they can also include giving. Some of y'all just got a heart to give. I remember back in when Peter Madodo showed up, he's our missionary in Africa. His kids were thirsty and the well had gone out. We took up an offering. He collected about $135 that day. We still give him $50 every month to help that well keep going. I mean, you got to help people. Some of you said, let me give to that. Showing compassion for others. What do you really enjoy doing? Max Lucado would probably call this your sweet spot. It's where you feel at home. If somebody says, can I get you to, I know it's a tough job, could you be the cake tester here at our school? I guess. Yeah, I could probably. While most stories of God giving certain gifts to people appear in the New Testament, there are some accounts given in the Old Testament where Daniel allowed people to do some special things at some special times. One of these special times involved Daniel. He interpreted the dreams for the king, and you saw that on the screen. In the New Testament, people were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this allowed them to do some special things also. Keep in mind, we may not all have the same gift, but we do, as believers, have the same Spirit. Think of it as a team working together. They may have different positions, but they all have the same coach and need one another if they're going to win. Everyone needs to do their share of the work. Consider John chapter 6 and the little boy's lunch. Now, that little boy showed up that day, the same as me going to Babylon. He had no idea what was going to happen to his lunch. He probably would not have had any idea that God was going to use his lunch to feed how many? 5,000. And his little lunch, what was in that lunch, by the way? 5 loaves, 2 fish? Yeah, it was like, you can have my lunch. And a little boy feeds everybody. That was his gift. Remember that it takes all of us to carry out God's work. While some jobs are big and more noticeable, the smaller jobs are just as important. And I said, I've got a story from World War II. Let me ask you this. If you were in the Marines or the Navy or the Air Force, that stands for your what? Military Occupational Service. In other words, you'd probably, instead of saying your, what's your MOS? That's what they tell you in the Marines. Or what they're really asking you is, what is your JOB? So what's your job here? Trish, what's a job at, let me just pick one out of the blue, Long John Silver's. Let's say you got to be a manager, right? What else? I got to have somebody taking orders. I hope there's somebody back there cooking food. So we got to have a cook, we got to have a cashier, we got to have a manager. Somebody might want to clean the lobby. Which one of those people can take the longest break? Man, we need you. I mean, you can't leave. Where's the cook? He stepped out for an hour. You can't do that. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. But you can't do that. Everybody. So my J-O-B is... I was going to ask you, what is your JOB or your MOS that's in the church? And you said, but Edgar, you're the pastor. But do you think you got a job here? I want you to feel important. You said, but it's just a little something. Granville's not here today, so I can talk about him. Tim usually brings Granville. But something was spilled one day, and I turned around to get a towel, and Granville about knocked me out of the way getting down there. He says, no, I got it. What do you think Granville's gift is? Servant. Yeah, let me clean. No, I got it. Get it. No, don't anybody touch that mess. Let me go get it. Don't anybody touch it while I'm gone. Wow. He's got a heart. Do you think that's work for him? No. He enjoys cleaning. I just give all the cleaning's done. Y'all just walk around outside with a vacuum because it's just, you know, it just feels right in your hand. I mean, it's just like, is that a gift? Absolutely. Anybody love to do windows outside? I just love it. No, I don't. What you hate, somebody else might love. Well, here at the church, we're going to have handing out water on Friday night. I don't know if I can, sure you can. You can put water in a tub and you can come out there and run down people and hand them a bucket, you know, a bottle of water. Do I have to say anything? It's up to you. If you don't, just throw the water at them and let them go. Yeah. Jim had some frozen one year and was throwing it at people. I mean, you hurt people. No, it's, can you find a job? What just comes naturally to you? Well, think of the place where you work. Think of the place where you work. There are different jobs for different people, but all the work for the same company. All the jobs are important. Think of a football team. Every person has his position to play, and the team depends on it. What if someone doesn't block? This is an assignment. The whole team must suffer. Matter of fact, I would surprise you. Some of you might not agree. What's the most important position on a football team? Maybe I should ask an expert. This is Charlie Caldwell, Jr. Can you tell what college he coached at? That's the Princeton Tigers. They made him look like a Tiger uniform. Got stripes on him. That's a recent photo, as you can tell. That man looks like he's 40 years old. Golly, I can't believe he's still in college. But anyway, Charlie Caldwell went to Princeton, lettered seven varsity letters in college. Wow. Played all three sports, was drafted to play minor league baseball by the New York Yankees. The man's gifted. Came back to coach at Williams College for about 18 years, then he coached at Princeton. And while there, he coached 1 year, and it just didn't go too well, so he came up with this archaic offense called the single wing, and he used it, never had another losing season. Won a national championship in 1950, 9-0. This guy was great. But yet, guess what? This man, if you'd ask him, you open up this book, I got it at the house, it sells for $75 on Amazon. I don't know how I ended up with it. But anyway, it's called The Modern Single Wing. You open it up in the first few pages, he says the most important position on a football team is the center. He said, find your best athlete when you snap a ball because everything else revolves around what he does. I can be all state, all American, all street, I don't know, all mouth is the case of some of the players I've had. Anyway, I can be everything, but if that guy can't get the ball back to me, I'm no good. I can run 109 flat. It doesn't make any difference if I can't get you the ball, so I've got to have somebody. The whole play begins with him. So he would think the dirty, grungy job, put your best athlete there. So just think if someone says, what are you good at? What's important? Well, it might be the dirty, grungy job. He said the center was the most important position. So what comes to mind when you think of spiritual gifts? Preaching, witnessing. I can't be Virginia. I can't hand out 3,000 books to John. You can do something. I said, gosh, you're stepping on my toes. I know, I'm stepping on my own. Preaching, witnessing, teaching, giving. How about this? Romans 6. If you want to flip over to Romans, would you do that in the New Testament? In the book of Romans? It tells you about these gifts, and I used to read these, and I'm going to give you, I'm just being honest with you. I would read some things in Romans chapter 6. I'd get a little scared because I was afraid they were naming jobs, and mine wasn't there. Romans chapter 6. Having gifts that differ according to what? Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, then in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Read that last thing again. The one, acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. If you are a servant handing out things, if you're a waiter or a waitress, what should you do when you serve people?
Smile.
Better smile. Here's your food. And here's your tip. You know, quit griping all the time. If you're going to do it, if you're the best representative of God, somebody's going to see today representing God, what would the world think? You know, service with a smile. Yep, it's all right. So I got to do that cheerfully. Yep. Hey, let me do that for you. No, let me do that. And I'm just convicted that I don't always use what gifts God has given me. I don't know that I always use so well. Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn, but just read this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. I used to read that verse and still get a little scared. Because I think, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher. What can I do? God says, keep reading. I want to equip his people for the works of service. If we can build each other up and make you a better Christian, like that's what I wanted to do in Babylon the other day. I want to take these two boys that said they go to church, I want them to be encouraged by the time they leave work today. And when they go home, I want them to say, Mom, guess what? This crazy guy come by and prayed with two of us and gave us some iced tea. Man, that's great. Oh, yeah, and I got cussed out earlier. But, I mean, it's not. I want them to forget that. So God says, go be kind to someone. Matter of fact, how about this? What's a golden rule say? Doing others.
As you would have them do unto you.
So if someone walks in the cell and says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I want you to have a candy bar and a frozen mocha from Starbucks. Bless you. You know, I'm just, thank you. Nothing to them, but you made my day. I want to equip his people until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness. Look at this, to equip his people. When you use your gift, we're a better church. 1 Corinthians 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So don't you dare say, well, but so-and-so gets to do this and I don't. We're all the same team. Yes, you're the center and I'm the halfback and somebody else can be the tackle. But there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Bottom line, we're an orchestra. I don't know what instruments you're playing. You might have the bass drum and the piccolo. I might be taking up the tickets at the door. You might be the lighting guy. But if all of us are putting on this terrific performance for people, well, we step out into the world. And James 3:1 says, now let not many of you become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I used to read that too and get a little scared. God, I don't know if I want to be a preacher or a teacher because you're going to hold me to the fire. He says, I will. But if you read this, bottom line is this. I wouldn't be at home doing anything else. I've taught for over 30 years. I'll show up at summer school 1 week from tomorrow, and I'll walk in there, and I'll somehow start teaching. I still get a little nervous. Been doing this 30 years, still get nervous. What kind of kids am I going to have? What kind of, are they going to be? God says, step in there. So you step in, and the next thing you know, it just explodes. What do you really enjoy doing? Now, if you enjoy doing crafts, Jenny, she's a creative person. Could we do crafts? Could we make, I don't know, we went to a camp one time. Jenny made little prayer blankets and handed them out. Used her craft, and she's a crafty person. We went to Pennsylvania one time. I had a poster that hung from floor to ceiling, ceiling to floor, and it had David had Goliath on 9 feet. I drew it to scale, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Had an art teacher down at Rona Valley fill in all the colors for me. And we went to a camp in Pennsylvania, probably in about the mid-80s. And I dropped that poster in the kitchen. Wow. And they suddenly could see Goliath the same, they could relate to him. A man by the name of Andy Maples runs that camp. He emailed me the other day. I haven't talked to him in years. He said, are you still speaking at camps? I said, I do. I got one about 2 weeks. He said, I still remember you coming up here and having your Goliath poster. That's 30 years ago. And you still remember that? So the person who drew that for me, and Jenny got kids to color it in, that made the message that day come alive. It wasn't me talking so much. I mean, God just uses all kinds of gifts. So you may be at this point wondering, what can I do? Well, take heart, I think there's a job for all of us. Keep in mind that God can gift us for a specific job or a specific time, just like Daniel. I'm going to allow him to interpret a dream. Might not ever do it again, but he needed it that day. He may choose to gift us so we can do the same job all the time. Every week I'll step up here. Every week you'll come in and help me. There are some of you that wash dishes. Every time we eat, you're in there in the kitchen cleaning up. I need that. We need each other. So I don't know if you got a one-time gift of, you know, interpreting this. You might have a gift that's all the time. Examples of special gifts from God on a specific person. It's like Daniel in the Old Testament, but examples of spiritual gifts from God to a person to use all the time. His disciples, he said, I'm going to breathe and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And they suddenly, how many people know that the disciples were different? Did y'all know? Okay. One of the disciples is Andrew. He's only mentioned in the Bible three times. He's my son's namesake. I mean, really? Yeah, we named Andy, not after Andy Griffith. See, some of y'all are wrong. We named him James Andrew. James is a half-brother of the Lord. Andrew's the first soul winner of the Bible. That's why Andy gets his name. So, Andrew, he is mentioned three times. The first time he comes to Jesus and says, I got somebody to introduce to you. It's my brother Peter. Peter amounted to something, I guess. What do you think? Next time, he's the one that brought the little boy with the fish and the loaves to Jesus. We got a, I know it's not a lot, but what do you think? Bring a little boy. Philip, who's Greek, had some Greek folks come to him, and they asked Philip, and Philip says, let me introduce you to Jesus. Guess where he went and got? Andrew, can you get Jesus? I sure can. Bring in the Greeks. He's mentioned three times he's a soul winner. How many people know as much about Andrew as they do Peter? We don't. Did Andrew have a gift? Absolutely. Andrew's the guy, what would Andrew be at a play at a high school? He's working the lights. He's taking the tickets. Who's starring on stage? Well, that would be Peter. He's the guy that slices off Malchus's ear in the garden. He's the one that says, I'll never deny you, and does it three times. He's the one that walks on the water. He's the one that does, hey, it's my brother Peter. Do you think Andrew ever got jealous of him? No. I sure am proud of you. If it wouldn't be for you, I wouldn't even found Jesus. Thanks. Old humble Andrew. Gifted? Absolutely. Peter? Mr. Explosive. Mr. Impulsive. Peter chopped down the door and probably unlocked. You know, it's like, that's just him. Kicking in. Yeah, with an axe in his hand, the door was unlocked. All he had to do was turn the knob. That's not Peter. He's just wide open and explosive. Can you imagine? They grew up together. Sir, are you gifted? But what I do, I don't guess I make much difference. There's my answers for you. A greeter, a cleaner up of messes, a nursery worker, a snack maker, a grass cutter. Whatever God puts in your heart to do. Let me finish this one, and then we'll pray. What I do doesn't make any difference. If that's what you think, I'm going to change the way you look at that, and we'll pray. Whatever you feel like God's called you to do, just do it. Really? Begin, just begin. What seems small to you might be huge to someone else. Just ask Bon Falks. During World War II, he piloted a B-17 bomber. On one mission, he sustained flak from Nazi anti-aircraft guns. Even though his gas tanks were hit repeatedly, the plane did not explode, and Falks was able to land the plane. On the morning after, Falks and his crew went out, and they said, I want to have a souvenir of getting shot yesterday, so they wanted to look for that shell casing. Falks asked his crew chief for the German shell that had hit him. He wanted to keep it as a souvenir for his incredible good fortune. Crew chief explained it. There wasn't one shell that hit you. It was 11 shells that went through the gas tank. How in the world did the gas tank not explode? None of them exploded. Technicians soon found the reason. Technicians opened the missiles, unscrew them, and inside, technicians opened the missiles and found them void of explosive charges, no powder in them. They were clean and harmless, with one exception. One exception, otherwise they were empty shells. The exception contained a carefully rolled piece of paper, and on this it had a message written. It was scrawled in the Czech language from the Czech Republic there. Translated, this note read, this is all I can do for you, but it's something. So there was a courageous assembly line worker who was disarming the shells and putting that little note in them, clicking the top back on, and he scribbled a note. He couldn't end the war, but he felt like maybe he could save one plane, one life. He could make one difference. He couldn't do everything, but he could do something, so he did it. He did what he was able to do. God does big things with small deeds. Against the towering giant, a brook pebble seems futile, but it caught right there and it laid that giant to rest. Small rock? A brook pebble seems futile, but it worked. God used it to topple Goliath. Compared to the tithes of the wealthy, a widow's coin seemed puny, but Jesus used them to inspire us. and in contrast with sophisticated priests and powerful Roman rulers, a cross-suspended carpenter seemed nothing but a waste of life. Well, but that wasn't true at all. A few Jewish leaders mourned his death. Only a handful of friends buried his body. The people turned their attention back to the temple. Why not? What power could a simple carpenter have? The power to change you and me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, little things mean a lot. You used a scribble note in the hands of the worker there in the Czech Republic to help a man and his pilot and his crew survive, although 11 shells found that gas tank. Nobody was hurt. And a small rock we could have probably held easily in our hand lowered Goliath down and helped the Israelites beat up on the Philistines. And a little old man known as Andrew introduces his brother to you. And Peter is just one of the top people in the Bible from then on. So Jesus, today I pray that you'd use us. We do have a gift. Help us to not downplay that. The devil would make us feel insignificant. That's not true at all. If I got the power of the Holy Spirit in me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Jesus, help us to know that we got a gift from you. Help us to use that gift. In Jesus' name, amen.